Jesus knew this before he even asked the question. He loved and accepted her in spite of her race, her misunderstandings, and her sin. Jesus accepts you and me too. Why? Let's say it together. Because Jesus is a life giver. Oh, Doug's a quick learner. Wow. Praise God for Doug. Thank you, Doug. It doesn't matter what your heritage is, or where you've come from, or what you've done. Jesus knows your heart, and he wants you to ask for the water that he provides. Life-giving water. Many times we allow life-draining, energy-draining things to get in the way of our relationship to God. And Jesus here is a life-giver. Jesus says, all you have to do is accept the gift that I am offering. Accept the gift. You see, we put pressure on ourselves, don't we? It doesn't matter what our problem is. It doesn't matter how huge our problem is. Jesus doesn't want these things to keep us in bondage any longer. He wants to set us free from things that are draining life out of us. Why? Because Jesus is a life giver. What is draining your energy? What is draining your life from you? What is that? This morning, Jesus is sitting right here, and he's saying to you, I need a drink. Then, when we go to give him a drink, you see, Jesus cuts to the heart of the matter, and he offers a drink instead. You know, that drink that boils up to eternal life. Jesus strips us of the heavy burdens that we carry and offers us life-giving water. And in that light of his love and mercy, the burdens lose power on us. And we are free to exert ourselves in the great joy and the mission of God's people. Yes, Jesus is a life giver. Let's say that again. Jesus is a life giver. Even today, Jesus is in the life-giving business. Jesus offers us the Holy Spirit. However, Jesus also left a tangible way for us to remember and experience his life-giving water through Holy Communion. The oldest document that we have regarding Holy Communion is 1 Corinthians 11, if you would like to turn with me. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know, praise God, the Corinthian church messed up. You realize if the Corinthian church didn't mess up, we wouldn't have the letter to the Corinthians? Matter of fact, every book in the New Testament is a letter to a church. Now, just as an aside, just so you kind of hear what I'm saying, have you ever listened to a telephone conversation where you were sitting in the room with someone on the one end of the phone and you can't hear the person on the other end of the phone? And, you know, by the answers, you can kind of go, oh, that's what they ask. Oh, right? Well, see, that's what we have in the New Testament. We have one side of the conversation. And actually, most understand 1 Corinthians in the Bible as 2 Corinthians. It was just 1 Corinthians, the literal 1 Corinthians was destroyed, right? But anyway, so the Corinthian church wrote and asked the Apostle Paul about Holy Communion. And praise God, Paul wrote back and said, this is what has been handed on to me about communion. You see, the fact that Jesus was a life giver was not only experienced during Jesus' lifetime, but it's also, well, you know, it's the reason why he died, right? That's the reason why he chose to die, was to give us life. And he left something that we can eat and drink for us to remember what that death was about.